Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, it's been a minute since I've been on this show. Filling in for Alan Han, it's Pat O'Keefe. I always enjoy the open, the best open in radio. And always enjoy sitting alongside my guy, Bart Scott. It's been a while, Bart. The last time, I don't remember the exact date that we did this together, but I do know it was a lot warmer outside the last time you and I worked together.
Yeah, a little bit brisk, which kind of sets us up for where we start. And you talk about the cold weather outside. You talk about, let's do that hockey. Usually I say, let's not do that hockey, but let's do that hockey and just talk about, you know, how hockey saved the weekend.
And you don't often say that, do you?
Never. I don't know if I've ever uttered those words out my mouth. You know, it had everything that, you know, well, I don't really talk about the Devils because we know the main, you know, that was the appetizer. The main event took place, yesterday?
Main event was yesterday.
Yeah, the main event was yesterday. And, man, you had everything you wanted. You had compelling collapses. You had people rising up to the occasion, but it started the right way that you always think about when you think about hockey. Starts off with fisticuffs.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you talk about that's how you want to see it start. You know, I like that they have the hockey. I wish I could have started a couple football games out and could have been the loser get a 15-yard penalty, and but you get to punch somebody in the face that's been, you know, that's right there. You know what I mean?
Didn't Odell Beckham and Josh Norman try to do that one day?
Yeah, that was two guys that wouldn't bust a grape in a fruit fight. I mean, that's like pillow
fighting. That's not exactly what you had in mind.
Yeah, that was something totally different. You know what I mean? Not that Andre Johnson fight when he was going against that quarter Finnegan. You know what I'm saying? That was the real fight. That was some real fisticuffs. That was some connections and some stuff like that. That's what I'm talking about. That's what makes hockey better than every sport, man. You know, yeah, you can cross-check and do all that good stuff. But, man, if you just want to say, let's take the gray out. I don't want to try and chase you around. Help me hold myself up, and I'll help you hold yourself up. Let's see who can take these five fingers to the face for the longer time.
It started great,
so
right?
Primitive.
They got this kid, Matt Rempe. Rangers are kind of beat up on their front line coming
six,
into the game.
6'7".
6'7", 6'8".
So 6'12" on skates.
First guy to ever make his NHL debut outdoors. First shift, Rangers have just scored, and off the ensuing faceoff, the gloves drop right away. So, I mean, your ultimate welcome to the NHL moment. Officially, on the score sheet at that point, he had logged exactly 1 second of ice time because they stopped the clock right away to let the fight play out. So that's how Matt Rempe got his...
At 21, too. That's a lot to ask. You know what I mean? You're fighting a grown man. You might be, you know, big and strong, but you're 21. I don't know how many grown fights has he had, you know what I mean, in his lifetime. You know what I mean? Have to be able to knuckle up with some veterans, you know what I mean? Somebody that's new to this, not new to this, but true to it.
That was his first. He, you know, held up pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you talk about winning over some veterans, you know what I mean?
Yes.
I'm sure they've been hazing this kid all week, you know what I mean? The fact that he gets to come in and say, all right, you know, all right, I can rock with that. You did an okay job. You ain't fall down. You ain't get dropped like a sack of potatoes. All right, you stood up. Then he played to the crowd. You know what I mean? Like, it was almost like a gladiator. Like, hockey and boxing is like the last thing we got left to, like, gladiator sports. Football is turning to some flag football, power puff girl type of stuff. You know what I mean? Flag football. But hockey, that's a man's sport.
It was a great scene out there yesterday. 80,000 fans. Like you said, hockey kind of saving the sports weekend. 150,000 fans between the two games. And look, it was an awesome scene. It was the first time I got to go to one of these outdoor hockey games.
And you was there.
I was there. I was in the stands. I was enjoying it as a fan, which I don't normally get to do with Rangers games, but I wasn't working the broadcast, so went out there with a couple of friends in the upper deck, old school, bundled up.
Now tell me this.
Yes.
Something I don't know, right? You take a hockey team and you take hockey fans.
Yeah.
And you put them in a football stadium.
Yeah.
Football stadiums usually have tailgates.
They do.
You get slithered up right before because you know you're going to be outside.
Yep.
Does hockey teams have tailgating, or did we have a mix of the football culture infiltrating the hockey culture? I wonder if people were out there early getting slithered up.
They were. They absolutely were.
Now, is that a traditional thing for hockey? Do they tailgate?
Well, it's a traditional thing for the Islanders because for years they played at Nassau Coliseum, which has parking facilities. So they're actually one of the few, you know, winter sports teams because most of these arenas for hockey and basketball are in urban areas like Madison Square Garden where there's not a lot of parking spots. So the tailgating isn't part of that experience. But tailgating historically is actually part of the experience for the Islanders fan. They don't get to do it as much anymore because UBS Arena parking's an issue there at their new place. So they were happy to have that part of it again. The Rangers fans were partaking. I'll tell you this. I hosted a show yesterday. I was on from 9 to noon, hopped in my car at about 12:30. It usually takes me about 45 to 50 minutes from Southern Westchester to get out to MetLife Stadium on a Sunday. And I'm talking about for a Jets or a Giants game. So an apples-to-apples comparison where there's 70,000 people in the stands. It took me 3 hours from the time I left my house to the time I walked through security into MetLife Stadium. My intention, Bart, was to go and be part of that tailgating experience. And I missed the whole freaking thing. I even missed that fight you talked about.
Oh, wow. So
unbelievable.
So you had to get filled in when you got there. And people were like, oh, man, you missed it, man.
I was
like,
on the escalator.
This game just started.
I was on the escalator, and I could see the ice going up to my seats, and I could actually see them drop the gloves. So I saw it from a very, very far distance. So I knew what was going on, but I had to get filled in on the particulars of the action.
Oh, man. Like, you got the good – first of all, why are you going up?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know?
You're Mr. O'Keefe. You're supposed to be going down, son. Like – one thing I wish they would have did, I wish they would have brought in more seating to allow people to be pinned against the glass. That's what I wish they would have done. I wish they could have brought some temporary seating where you can have, like, people around there, like, heckling the players, slapping the glass, standing up. I would have loved to see the green or the blue people come out there with the little body suits, like, pinning it up against the glass, trying to irritate people. But, you know, like, it was a tremendous atmosphere. It seems like everybody that I knew went to that game. And it looked like they were having a ball, right? It was crazy that I saw, you know, first time seeing Vera Tucker. I'm like, hold up, man. You couldn't come around during the regular season, but now you're around for a hockey game?
Oh, he was there?
Yeah. Like, hold up, man. What are you – really? This what brings you to the stadium? Like, you couldn't come support your teammates? Like, Aaron Rodgers had ACL surgery as well, Achilles surgery as well. But, you know, I digress. It looked like it was who's that was there. And it looked like it was a fun time, a fun atmosphere. You talk about 80,000 screaming fans. I'm glad that the Rangers hopefully were able to partake in the festivities as far as getting slithered up before the game and being able to have fun and being able, well, ultimately having a last laugh.
You mean the Rangers fans?
Yeah, Rangers
fans.
Themselves.
Because the way the Rangers started, they may have been doing that in the beginning.
Yeah, I meant the Rangers fans, man. I wonder if you're out there, 1-800-919-3776, call in and let us know how your experience was in MetLife Stadium and how did you like the game and did your team come out on the right side and did you really care and was it experience? Because I can imagine with 80,000, a rivalry – being able to, you know, really have some fun with your family members, man, because, you know, it's easier to get tickets. How was your seats and what was the view from where you're at?
I was up top. I was like in the 300s. I went with a friend who
did you piss off? Like,
well, listen, I'm like halfway through. I'm like, let me call Ray Santiago and get myself down into the press box in the broadcast booth where he was watching the game.
What the hell was the wind chill up there, bro?
You know, I was bundled up, man. It was like I was going to a Giants or a Jets game in December, which I've done my entire life, so it wasn't that much different.
Okay, okay.
You know? Yeah. Couple of Bud Lights in the aluminum cans, and you're good to go. It keeps you warm, man.
Bud Lights, but I think you got to be out there with some hot toddies or something, man. You need to go out there with some whiskey and honey, something hot.
Listen, I was hot getting into that arena. Into that stadium. I'm standing after sitting in traffic for 2 hours. I was like in traffic for 2 hours on the premises of the Meadowlands. I'm like looking at the stadium for two freaking hours from my car, and I'm red hot. I'm like missing a fun day. They're smoking meat. I'm missing the tailgating experience. Yeah. And I'm saying to my buddy on the phone, I'm like, freaking Bart's going to hear my mouth tomorrow when rail against the NHL on how unorganized this is.
And then they gave you the greatest game that you've seen.
The game ended up being
time.
Great. So, look, it was a fantastic
hold
game.
Hold on. Did you stay to the duration or did
course,
you give up?
Absolutely. No.
So you're not one of these guys.
I'm not one of those guys.
I thought you were going to try to get a jump.
Listen, I'm used to it because I'm usually doing the post-game show for the Knicks or the Rangers, so I'm there till the bitter end no matter what. But it's rare that I get to kind of go and enjoy one of these things with friends, not working. So I'm like, you know what? I'm here. I got the day off. Let's do this right. And it was a fantastic game. The way the game ended too. And look, the Rangers are on a heater right now. That was what their seventh straight win. They got a tough game tomorrow against one of the top teams in the NHL, Dallas. But the coaching decisions down the stretch. I mean, the Rangers are down 4-1. They're down 5-3 with 6 minutes left. And then they get this power play with 5:44 left. And
Achilles heel all year, right?
And then the coach, Laviolette, pulls the goalie.
Yes. 4:36 to go?
Yeah, no, 5:44 left. The Rangers win the faceoff, and he immediately pulls the goalie. So now you have – it's a risky move because if the Isles score, the game is basically over at that point. But you had the two extra skaters at 5-on-3, and the Islanders could not get the puck out of the defensive zone, and they finally got so tired that Kreider got open to tie it with 4:08 to go.
I mean, you talk about something that Allen –
not tie it, excuse me, pull him within a goal, sorry.
Something that Allen has informed me has been an issue for them the entire season, the power the penalty kill, and the fact that they couldn't figure it out, man. Just, same thing, make you laugh, make you cry. And when they got into the, overtime, that they were – momentum was on the Rangers' side.
They dominated the game. At one point, the shots on goal was like 30-13 in favor of the Islanders.
I don't know how you look at it, but I look at like the Rangers as the Giants and like the Islanders as like the Jets or the Mets, right? They on our side, right? Even though they won the 4 in a row and all that stuff, I think we're looked down upon, right? If you ask people who's the most popular team right now, they would say Rangers over Islanders. They would say Giants over Jets. They would say Yankees over Mets. So I take losses like that from them. Collapse is just like a collective like L for like the Jets and Mets. You know what I mean?
It's a very, very apt comparison. And the interesting thing there is, like you said, they do have the 4 championships. So in terms of winning, the Islanders have done more winning at the championship level than the Rangers have. But in terms of fan base, it's clearly a Rangers town. It was probably like 70% Rangers fans, 30% Islanders fans.
Because it's in Long Island, man. Maybe we should have had it in City Field, man. Give the Long Islanders a little bit more love.
They had that in City Field in 2018, but it was the Rangers and the Buffalo Sabres. But yeah, that would have been closer to home for the Islanders fans. There's just not as many Islanders fans. The one cool thing they did announce during the game, which I didn't know. I think this is the first time they announced it. The All-Star game in 2026 is coming to Long Island.
Nassau. You know how hard that is to get out there, man?
I do.
I went out there one time. I swear, I was like, man, I got to be in Canada or Europe. I'm like.
You guys weren't still practicing in Nassau when you were playing? You were, right?
No, never.
Oh, you were out of there?
There's no way in hell I would have signed with this team if I had to drive to Long Island.
So you were already in Jersey when you got here?
Yes, I was in Florham Park. I've never not been in Florham Park, man. It's no way in H-E double hockey sticks I would be pulling that one off. That's far too long, far for me. And then the horror stories that I used to hear about these guys and, what they used to have to do, taking 3 hours to get home after the game.
Yeah, like, that's awful. Because they lived on Long Island because they were there every single day.
Yeah, Hofstra, like, come on, man. I'm practicing at a college. Nah, I couldn't do that one.
They had – what I was thinking was obviously the infamous Hard Knocks episode with the cheeseburgers.
The cheeseburgers.
That was at Hofstra, right?
Yeah. We were just paying homage. Yes. You know what I'm saying? We just pulled up. You know what I mean? We weren't doing nothing. Just talking to our fan base.
But that's what I was thinking of.
But hockey saved the day, man. Listen, if you were there, call in. I want to know what the experience was like.
That was cool.
Would you do it again? I remember they had one in a big house in front of 100,000. I think it was the Red Wings. So I'm here for that series. I'm here for that brand, right? I'm here to see, those type of games. I think they're good for the game. I think they're exciting, and I think the atmosphere, it's almost like a soccer atmosphere. What's the thing that the Rangers say?
Yeah, eh. Well, I think they all say that.
All right. That's Canadian, right? Eh.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not just the Rangers.
Red stripe, eh. Okay. I thought
Red stripes the other direction. That's south.
Yeah, but there's so many Islanders, in Canada. The red stripe, man.
That's true. There are, yes. So how many hockey games do you generally consume a year? Do you go a lot or no?
No. I haven't gone a lot. I'm a Red Wings fan.
Okay.
You know, so the last game I've been to, I can't even remember the last Red.
So you had
Red
no
Wings
interest
fan.
In doing this yesterday?
No, because I'm a Red Wings fan, so I appreciated it. But I was hoping that the other game that was supposed to happen would give me some more excitement. After being disappointed, listen, you talk about a loss for basketball together. What's his name? Dr. James Naismith, whatever his name is.
Yes.
Like he sat up in his grave. Like, see, this hype, really? I'm going back. Don't.
Last night it was awful.
But the dunk contest, this dude, Jaylen Brown did a dunk where he forgot that he was supposed to cover his face. So when he hit the ground, he covered his face. Like, yo, we can see you. He jumped in the air for a dunk and he kept the ball in one hand and put the wrong hand up. I said, what are we doing? Like, it was god awful. Like, listen, the game of basketball was set back 2 years yesterday.
Yesterday was the worst. The Brown thing, of course, happened All-Star Saturday. Now, you know what? The one thing I'll say about that is I gave Jaylen Brown a lot of credit over the weekend because he's the first All-Star we've had in years that decided to compete in the slam dunk contest. And what we learned was this. All you have to do is be a star, and it's an automatic entry into the finals. Automatic into the finals.
Because Toppin dunk was way better.
Toppin's was better, but did they want two G League guys in the finals of the slam dunk contest? So you knew as long as Jaylen Brown literally didn't trip on the foul line and fall flat on his face, he was going to be in the finals.
That was crazy because they knew that he had a tribute to the kid, and I commend him for that. But, man, you did know. Did you even practice, like, any of those dunks? Or did you just say, I'm going to do them, like, before? Like, that was the worst dunking I've ever seen. I'd much rather see Luka hang himself on his own self alley oop than to see that. Like, that was tragic. Like, they have to fix it, man. That thank you for hockey for saving the day, because if not, I would have broke my TV.
Well, it's funny because it's literally, and I understand we're comparing a regular season game or two, if you count the Devils game on Saturday night. We're comparing regular season games late in the season with an exhibition in the All-Star game. But just the difference in the level of competitiveness from what we saw on the ice this weekend at MetLife Stadium to what we saw on the court this weekend in Indianapolis was
400 points.
Unbelievable.
400 points. What are we doing?
Seriously.
Like, what are we doing? Like, if it wasn't for the Steph Curry and what's her name, Sabrina, if it wasn't for that, it would have been a total loss. Like, the skills competition is wacky D.
That's not fun. That's not interesting.
I can see you can throw a ball through a big ass hole
right
for a pass.
I mean, Ben Affleck did that
in the
Dunkin' Donuts commercial at the Super Bowl, didn't he?
Exactly. I was so embarrassed for basketball. Like, they have to find a better way.
The commissioner was pissed.
I don't know what's worse. And he's trying to sell TV deals.
I know. Yeah, this is a crucial time for the league right now.
I was teasing and saying, hey, man, this dude went full – he went full training day. You do this to me? I'm trying to get y'all more money. Y'all do that to me?
Yeah.
I'm pinning cases on all you Luka, Jokic. Like, and it was clear that you can see that clearly just the East just has younger, fresher legs, and so they were more engaged in it. And it was just the fact that they had that. Like, the oldest two people there was Dame and Giannis.
Yeah.
You know, everybody else was so damn old. Like, KD out there getting nutmegged, looking like somebody's uncle.
Yep.
I'm like, come on.
I'm sure he didn't appreciate that. LeBron didn't even play in the second half. Kawhi Leonard could care less about an All-Star game. I don't think Luka Doncic's feet actually left the floor the entire night.
Listen. Luka's the only person in the history of an All-Star game to have his body fat and weight go up during the game.
Right? Did you notice that too?
Like, bro, like, are you growing? Like, you know they eating Gatorade bars? What the hell are you doing, man?
Between him and Jokic, who's also, not exactly Mr. Olympian if he takes his shirt off. Phenomenal player.
It's amazing that those are the best players in the NBA.
In the world.
Right. It's like, you look at, like, everything that I've been taught about working hard, eating right, is wrong. Just think about who runs sports right now. It's dudes with ribber flabbing and red dye at 50. Like, you got Jokic with mad boobs. You got Larry Bird in year 10, a.k.a. Luka Doncic, right? And then you have Tyson Fury, who's a heavyweight champion of the world. All of them dudes got body fat over 20.
You telling me things are looking up for me, Bart?
Yes. It's the everyday man is winning right now.
I learned last night that Nikola Jokic actually can't dunk a basketball, I don't even know if that was possible. He can't dunk a basketball. The man's 7 foot, and he's the best player on the planet, and he can't dunk a freaking basketball.
Listen, Jalen Brunson got dunked with more ease than Jokic.
Wasn't a lot of ease.
Hey, he got it with two, and he about 6 foot,
yep,
maybe. And he got it up there, man. It was a catastrophic L, man.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cask matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. A slow weekend in the sports world outside of hockey, but a lot of stuff going on all of a sudden. We will get your thoughts on the stadium series at MetLife Stadium. Give us a call if you were out there. What'd you think of the atmosphere? I liked it once I was in my seat. 1-800-919-3776. Also, the NBA All-Star Game, can it be fixed? Some coaching news with one of the local NBA teams making a change. And, of course, we'll get into a lot of the football in this all-important offseason. It's Pat O'Keefe in for Allen on Barton Hahn on 98.7 ESPN New York.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Pat O'Keefe in for Allen this week for the next couple of days, which will be fun for me anyway. Hopefully you as well.
Absolutely.
1-800-919-3776. Some thoughts on the hockey as we did it yesterday at MetLife Stadium. All weekend long, the Devils beating the Flyers on Saturday night in front of 70,000. And then yesterday, the Rangers, the highest scoring outdoor game ever, 6-5 in overtime, beating the Isles, coming back from 4-1 down, coming back from 5-3 down late in the third period, thanks to two power play goals.
What the hell was Watt thinking?
Laviolette, though, pulling the goalie not once but twice, because he did it again when the Rangers got a power play with 2.5 minutes to go. At that point, I thought it was real risky, because you got a traditional power play. You know, I was thinking play it out. If you tie, obviously, you go to overtime, which they ended up doing. But, again, you pull the goalie, they could just fire away at will without the penalty of icing.
And yet they couldn't do it.
Couldn't do it. Mika Zibanejad, the power play artist, along with the other one, Chris Kreider. Mika tied it with 1.5 minutes to go, and then a wild overtime goal by Artemi Panarin off a turnover in front of the Isles net. The net was knocked off its mooring, but the puck was clearly going in anyway. They had a little bit of a replay, suspense, but we all knew what was coming, and the Rangers win 6-5. So Your reaction on this one, if you were out there, 1-800-919-3776. Let's start things off with Patrick in Rockaway Beach. What's going on, Patrick?
Patrick, you're number one. You're batting leadoff, Patrick. Come on, man. Come on. You got to be there, Pat.
Well,
damn it, Pat. You disappoint me.
Yeah. All right. Well,
hope they cut your phone off.
We have Jose in Brooklyn checking in. We were also talking about the NBA All-Star Game and what to do about that. Jose, how you doing today?
Hey, good afternoon, Pat, Bart. Shout out to the company. And as Bart said, like, hockey pretty much saved the weekend because this was, I have to say, it was the worst All-Star Game I've ever seen. Like, we expected lanes to be open like Moses and the Nile River. We expected all of that stuff. But to see the 200-point game was just the most ridiculous thing. And then, like you guys said, it was combined over 400 points. It was disgusting because, you know, I texted a couple of my friends that, you know, the 2001 highlight All-Star game where you had Marbury, Iverson, and Kobe going at it in that fourth quarter. And you could just totally see the difference in the intensity and the care of wanting and the pride. And this is it's just become a complete joke of itself. And it does make you miss players like Kobe Bryant, because Kobe Bryant really took the All-Star game very seriously.
Kevin Garnett.
Russell Westbrook.
Exactly. So these guys, like, looked at it as, you know, hey, this is the elite players. I'm here to show out and show that, you know, I'm one of the best, you know, on this type of stage. And for people to just take it as a circus the way it's been done, like, now it's coming to the point where the All-Star NBA weekend, which was exciting and fun and cool, and now it's just like, should we cancel it the way we're talking about, like, how we're the way we canceled the Pro Bowl? Like, this is becoming a joke right now.
Yeah, we can turn into the Big Three tournament. We can let Ice Cube come in and be a part of the league and just do the Big Three.
The Big Three is more competitive than this, Bart.
That's
big
what I'm saying.
Watch that any day.
We should do the Big Three with some old players and let them get done. You know, see how they play out, because it'll be half court. It'll be dunks. It'll be, you know, competitive nature. You know, Coutinho Mobley still playing, look like a silver fox or all silver.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like one of those things, man. Like, when did this game lose its drive? Because even when you had team captains picking their team, I felt like they were competing because you were representing yourself in the team that you picked. So, like, I thought even the last couple of years they were more competitive. This year they just really just gave up. I mean, you got Lucas taking 60-foot shots. Just like, come on,
off
man.
One foot.
Yeah, like, come on, man. You're not even trying, man. Like, and usually what we've been accustomed to seeing that, okay, even if they were kind of yucking it up and playing around, usually when about 6 minutes they start making that push, or 8 minutes they start playing for real and they get close, and then they play, you know, at a heightened competitive rate, and we get to see some beautiful moments, guys really trying to stop each other. That was just a joke. At some point, I thought, okay, well, don't worry. The West will close it up to like 10, and they'll start playing hard, and we'll see what it looks like. Nope. Never got there. The East never let go of the rope. They still kept hitting threes and taking care of their business, and it was like, okay, this is anticlimactic.
The problem is the last couple of years. The last year it was truly competitive and it was really good was in 2020, which was right before the pandemic, and that was also the year that Kobe had passed away. So the entire All-Star Weekend was dedicated to his honor. That was when they came up with the Elam ending, which was the 24 points in the fourth quarter
added to the winning
team in honor of him. And if you remember, that fourth quarter was exactly what you described. At about 8 minutes left, both coaches settled on their five-man closing group, and it was an insanely competitive game. And everybody thought the All-Star game was fixed, and it was great. The problem with the Elam ending is this. If one team is too far ahead, then it doesn't matter. Like, if one team has to get to 24 in the fourth quarter and the other team has to get to 42, that's probably not going to happen in an All-Star game. And that's what's happened the last few years. So and it happened again last night. The East just got too far ahead of the West, so you're never presented with that situation where you can bear down for the last 6 minutes in a competitive game. Even if we just got 6 or 7 minutes down the stretch with the best players, the best five of each conference, I would take that. But we don't even get that.
Yeah, get them checking each other, that competitive juices. Now, you saw the beef happening with the kid from Indiana and Jaden Ivey when he was like, yeah, y'all can't even drive me up here. And he was like, they were laughing at first, and he was like, hold on, what the what? Like, you know, it took that type of arrogance, you know what I mean? But, you know, that's a different game. You know, I don't know how you do it. Yeah, I don't know how you do it if you do the – you can't separate them because you'll never have enough if you separate them by age or seniority where you can have young guys trying to prove themselves against the LeBrons or something like that. I don't know how you fix it.
Yeah, and like, I don't know why they thought that going back to East-West was going to work either. I don't know how that was going to change the competitiveness. They had the captains the last few years, which – you know, that obviously didn't work, but I didn't know why Adam Silver thought going back, is there really a lot of pride in the Eastern Conference? You know,
because none of these guys stay in the Eastern Conference. He spent most time in the Western Conference, right? So, you know, he's never been a starter, you know what I mean, until yesterday. But he clearly was out there trying to get it. You can always tell who's trying to get the mantle.
Yeah, he was trying and Jaylen Brown was trying.
Yep.
Halliburton, I don't think, was overly trying. Halliburton should have gotten it. Here's a couple of things I jotted down that I liked. What Halliburton did in the first quarter was legit. He came down, he got on a heater, he hit 5 straight three-pointers, and they were getting deeper and deeper as they were going, and it was in front of his own home crowd. I thought that was awesome. I liked Trae Young nutmegging Kevin Durant, and finishing, by the way, because how many times do you see a guy make a move like that and not actually finish the play? He finished the play. The only thing that Damian Lillard did was late in the game when he pulled up from half court in rhythm like he's shooting a normal jump shot and knocked it down.
Well, he did that like twice. I think they should take some stuff from the big three. They should have, in the All-Star game, they should have 4-pointers.
Yeah, I think they should. I don't think that's a bad idea at all.
Because these guys can hit these routinely. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. I was disappointed. Like, this first time I ever seen somebody get booed in a damn dunk contest. Then Brown is like, man, boo! They know that that Toppin got screwed, man. They're like, man, we ain't here for this, man. This is whack. Like, I can go watch M1 Mixture and watch Escalade, God rest his soul, fat ass dunk better than this. This dude did D Brown and covered his face after he hit the ground. this is so disrespectful on so many levels. Like, bro, you play in Boston. That's the best D Brown, you know, as he's fake air pumping some Nikes.
Yeah, yeah. Like, well, you know what next year, what they should do? Maybe Devin Booker should do it. Next year, Devin Booker should go in and dunk and then put a blindfold on after he hits the floor in homage to Cedric Ceballos.
Yeah, man. I tell you what. Last time we saw a real one was Zach LaVine and Gordon.
Yep. Yeah, that was a good one.
McClung's
good, but he's a G League player. Yeah, no, it's not as exciting when a guy like that does it, but he's good.
They got to give Ruffles and all those other people put $1 million up, man.
Yeah, because it means a lot to a guy like McClung or to Jacob Toppin.
Because people going to play in the other games regardless. You know, dunk contest could injure you. Dunk contest could, you know, you got to take practice time out for it. People gonna shoot, you know, because it doesn't hurt the body, can't do anything to you. But to get people to participate in the dunk contest, I think you gotta just put $1 million up. If you put $1 million up, Ruffles, couple sponsors, SoFi, whatever, $1 million, oh, God's gonna be like, all right, you know, I think I can do that.
I swear to God, I thought Jokic was gonna get hurt on that last play. It was so awkward looking when he went up to – I don't know if he was fake dunking or if he actually couldn't dunk, but I was like, oh, my God, he's going to get
hurt. Yeah, when he fake put the spree – we call it the spree wheel, put the ball behind his head, and then he laid it up. Yeah. Nah, he knew he wasn't going to do that.
Let's go back to the phones, 1-800-919-3776. Matthew in Brooklyn. Matthew, what's going on?
Hey, guys, how are you?
How you doing?
So, actually, Dame was one to make a point last night because – he felt slighted. He was the 3-point contest since 07, I believe. And then after the 3-point contest, they have Steph versus Sabrina. She used WNBA balls and shot from WNBA 3. Why even have a
she shot
no, no, no.
NBA
she shot from, she shot from the NBA
shot
3
from
yesterday.
NBA 3.
She shot from that one. No, she shot from
WNBA balls.
Yes, those are the balls that she's used her whole life.
Why did I know you were going to go there? She got WNBA size hands though too.
Why have a 3-point contest then? Why?
So you think if she? Do you know the difference between a WNBA ball and a regular ball is like half an inch?
I don't care. It's still a difference.
How do you know
you don't think she can shoot a regular ball?
She I'm not saying that. I'm saying if you want to make it fair, she should have. She should have won versus Dame because he won back to back.
Why? Steph Curry, ever since she did what she did in the WNBA's game when she put on that show, the matchup was her and Steph, because I know you love Dame Dollar, but Steph Curry is the best shooter that this game has ever seen. So that's why. Listen, Matthew, how can she possibly have faced Dame? Dame already did a competition where his legs was tired, right?
So why have a three-point contest with six men then? What's the point?
What are you talking about? What I'm saying is Dame wouldn't have done both competitions. It would have been unfair for him to do both competitions because you would have been here, Dame legs was tired. So Dame was trying to win the three-point competition. This matchup between
Steph. You're talking about a $50 million athlete.
Okay.
You think his legs are tired?
Matthew, you talking to one. So what are you talking about?
Okay. And
Matthew, I think I know. I think I know, Matthew. She's an athlete too. And legs and fatigue, just like when you saw when they had to go back out there and shoot, it was the legs that got tired. Just like when you heard the professionals talking about how Trae Young and everybody, because they jumped so much, was at a disadvantage, where you think about a guy like Cat, because he doesn't really jump, he's shooting, he doesn't use all his legs, will be able to last more. So that is something.
Granted, I understand.
Matthew,
you just woke up mad. Who hurt you, Matthew?
Matthew, who hurt you?
So you think Dame is a better shooter than Steph Curry? Steph Curry hit 29.
Is that what the point is?
That's not what I'm saying.
Are you mad that Dame didn't face Sabrina, or are you mad that Sabrina shot with the WNBA ball? What's your biggest problem here?
All of it.
So she's not a good shooter. That wasn't one of the best parts of the game.
That was the best part of the weekend. Steph versus Sabrina was the best part of the weekend.
And she stretched him. She pushed him.
Are you kidding me?
What was your highlight? What was your highlight?
Dame winning the consolation prize, winning a three-point shootout without the best three-point shooter of all time, competing in it?
So which one sucked less? Matthew, which one sucked less?
They all suck.
We agree with you, but which sucked less? Which sucked less?
It sucks that they're trying to show that a woman could outshoot a man. It can never happen.
She can outshoot you.
She almost did.
She lost by three shots, Matthew.
Not just a man, the greatest shooter of all time.
Matthew, this is one of the most sexist calls. Matthew, this is one of the most sexist calls I've ever heard, man. I told you, didn't I tell you about the size of the basketball? I told you that was going to be used. Come on, man. She put up 26. You act like Steph is shooting on those rims that you shoot at the carnival, and she shoots like in the ocean.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Like, Matthew, who hurt you, man? She outshot everybody there but Steph.
Yes. Nobody but Steph had more points than she did in a round.
That's just like saying, okay, well, if you had like C.J. Stroud throwing against Tom Brady, and you're saying, oh, well, he used a college football, so his college football is slightly smaller than a professional football. Her hands are smaller. You act like she was shooting with a Jordan Jammer ball.
Right.
Like, come on, man. You got to come better than that, man. Like, we've evolved more than that. We got to bring Billie Jean King back up. Come on, man. Like, what are we doing?
Well, here's
man?
The thing. The Billie Jean King, you know, comparison. But when Billie Jean King beat Bobby Riggs, he was, you know, kind of over the hill in terms of his career. He was past his prime. I'm not taking anything away. It was a huge deal. But in this case, this is Sabrina.
Two active players. Two current players.
She's going against the greatest shooter in
of all time.
The history of the world in his prime.
But Dame should have been shooting.
Man, come on, man.
When we saw what Sabrina did last year, we were like, man, we want to see her against Steph. That's what everybody said. That's what they all. Nobody said, oh, I want to see her against Dame.
And you know what she did? She showed up and she stepped up. She did not fall. There were people out there that wanted to see her fall flat on her face. They wanted to see her get 13, and they wanted to say what that caller just said, where she doesn't belong out there with the men. And that's not what happened. She showed up. And she showed out, and it was an awesome competition, and I thought it was by far the best thing of All-Star Weekend. which is not saying a lot, but it was still entertaining.
Yeah, I don't know who hurt Matthew. You know what Matthew would have said if she would have went against, like, Big Cat or Dame? Well, she didn't go against the best shooter in the world. Why did she go against Steph?
Dame was the appetizer for Steph. He has been his entire career, which, look, that's not the worst thing. Steph's the best. But
like Steph's the greatest shooter this game's ever seen, and Dame Lillard's made the argument because of the threes he's hit as maybe the third or fourth, behind Klay.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Prime Klay would be considered better.
This portion of the Barton Hahn Show is brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cask matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. When we come back, I'll let you know what I think was the absolute most annoying thing of last night's All-Star game. I can't believe, with all of our criticism so far, I haven't had a chance to mention this yet. Thoughts on the Nets firing Jock Vaughn as well, and where do they go from here? And your calls at 1-800-919-3776. Barton Hahn on 98.7 ESPN New York.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Barton Hahn on 98.7 ESPN New York, and this portion of the show is brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cask matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. So the NBA All-Star break continuing. Knicks are back in action on Thursday in Philadelphia. Tough two games for the Knicks out of the break in Philly on Thursday, and a nationally televised affair Saturday night at the Garden against the Boston Celtics. The thing I hated about last night's game the most was essentially what the game was a platform for NBA players, the best ones that we have in the league as voted on by the fans and media and coaches, essentially to run up and down the floor and show us that they can dunk basketballs. Although by the end of the games, they didn't even want to dunk basketballs anymore. They were hitting open layups and they were shooting open three-pointers. None of this stuff is exciting to fans.
Yeah, it's not aesthetically pleasing.
And then the thing that drives me the craziest is when you get guys like Giannis, who's, you know, the second best player in the world, sure, but what is Giannis not good at doing? Shooting three-pointers. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, although he was 7-for-10 last night from three, so that's a bad example.
Yeah.
But he generally is not somebody who shoots three-pointers. So if you're not good at doing it in the regular season and that's not what got you there, why does Giannis think we want to see him shooting three-pointers last night? You know what we want to see Giannis doing? We want to see him doing two Euro steps from the top of the key and dunking by extending his arm, because that's what he's better at than anyone else. Nothing that they gave the fans last night was enjoyable to the fans. These players who are so image conscious in terms of social media and their endorsements and the messages that they project from themselves to the public, none of them gave a single second to think about what the fans might want from that game last night. And the worst was the younger players, Bart, that are now coming in. You know, the LeBrons and the Kevin Durant.
Left arm shoot.
Oh, they've set the tone. I mean, Anthony Edwards, after the game, literally said he didn't feel like playing hard. He's like, it's an exhibition game. Why would I play hard? But that's all he knows. He's a young 21-year-old guy already in his second All-Star game. He's the guy who many people call one of the future faces of the league, and he comes into the league ingrained.
It's his first one, too.
that ingrained that you're not supposed to play hard in these games.
See, attitude reflect leadership, right? And when LeBron got in the league, you know, Kobe showed him what it was about. When Kobe got in there, he went against Jordan. You know, they were matching each other up, crossing each other up. It was a real thing, right? And it was about competition. It was about showing your individualism, but also being able to show your creativity and be able to go against, you know, a guy that we – matchups that we would never see, right? Shaq going out there against Jordan or whatever. And that's what the fans want to see. They want to see the best, check the best, take it a little personal. You know, you go down, hit a shot, I come back down, go back at you, and then now we got something because the competitive juices can come out. But now what it looks like is it's turned into, like, you know, a bunch of guys who enjoy the weekend and enjoy the week and the festivities, and by the time they get to the game, they got nothing left because they've been going hard and thinking that they deserve some R&R because – you know, Daddy Silver said that, hey, you can't take time off anymore. So now they're like, all right, well, we're going to break during the All-Star game. I don't know what you can do to fix it. I don't know if you can add, like, hey, the winning side gets the deciding seventh game. If the game go to seventh game in the pros, I mean, for the championship. You know, I just don't know what it is. It can't always be about money because I think we got to use money for – the championship, I mean, for the dunk contest. It can't always be about money. It's got to be about pride. And I don't know if you're going to add some type of incentive where, you know, like I said, was it baseball? Who was it? Like, the winner of the game got to host the Game 7 in the World Series or something like that. Yeah, so I don't know if it's that or what you can do, but it needs to get fixed because being able to get so – listen, this game would be on Tubi. You know, they thinking like they're going to sell it to somebody. This thing going to be on Tubi or Pluto TV or, you know, Samsung TV or something like that. Ain't nobody going to buy this. Nobody going to buy this unless you got full buy-in by the players to make it at least something that's entertaining but also something that's competitive.
The funnest thing about the All-Star game now is debating who deserves to be a part of the All-Star game. Once that's over, then there's nothing else that's entertaining about it. Which is a shame. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Mike in Jersey, who's got an idea for the three-point contest, Mike.
Guys, how you guys doing?
All right, good. How are you?
Good. So, I have a couple points. So, the All-Star game is garbage. Get rid of it. The skills challenge, garbage. Get rid of it. And even the dunk contest, get rid of it. The three-point contest is the only thing that's entertaining. And I love the Sabrina theft. I loved it. I was rooting for her to win.
But she used a WNBA ball, though. What about that?
That guy needs to get his brain checked. He was an idiot. Anyway, that's the point. What I would do is, instead of having all that stuff, for those 3 hours on Saturday night, I would get about 32 shooters. They could be from the WNBA and the NBA. You, Sabrina, Caitlin Clark, etc. And what I would do is have a March Madness type thing. 16 each side of the bracket. You go head-to-head. It's kind of like what the Homer Derby does now. And you just have the whole night just matchups for the three-point contest, and then someone wins the whole bracket. I thought that's an idea that I came up with. I want to know your guys' opinion on that. You have NBA players and WNBA players, and they go one-on-one, and it's a big bracket, and then you have a winner at the end of it.
I mean, it could go. I don't know how fatigued the players would get from doing something that long. But it's like the home run derby, like you said. Listen, I'm open to anything. I love the Sabrina and Steph thing. I think we can have that. You know, people think that Dame or Big Cat, who won the three-point contest and, you know, acquitted himself very well, can kind of match him up with another WNBA player. That could be dope too. And I think it's just helping out the women's game as well.
Sorry, I think the three-point contest is the only thing on All-Star Saturday night that doesn't need to be fixed. I think there's no lack of star power. I think it's good competition. And I also think that if you want to expand it to include more WNBA players, that is the easiest activity to expand it. I mean, it's easier than, for example, the dunk contest, which the biggest problem with the dunk contest is the lack of star power. And, you know, with Jaylen Brown participating this year, credit to him for taking part. But, you know, the fact that he's getting all of this backlash afterwards for his performance, rightfully so, proves that, like, the next star is going to think twice about, look, finally one of these guys stepped up, did it, participated, and now you got people like me and you saying that, well, the only reason he advanced to the finals was because he's a star and he didn't actually deserve to do it.
Yeah, they're wrong. And, you know, like you said, you know, people saw him getting booed. He's like, what am I doing this for? I did this for y'all. Now, he should have did a better job than that. That's like trying to go do something and not practicing and thinking you're going to go in and everybody else is practice and prepare for it. And, you know, I think, like, if we put money behind it, but also if we put, you know, resources. It used to be a glamour thing. It used to mean something to be the dunk contest champion. Dominique Wilkins, Michael Jordan, Vince Carter, arguably the best, you know.
Kobe Bryant.
You know, Kobe Bryant. Like, you need to understand the tradition. I think some of these young kids don't understand the tradition and the legacy that's associated with this title. You know, that's why I think you need to make it, you know, what it's supposed to be as far as the money. And also the importance of what that means. Like, I don't know what you can do to make it mean more. I don't know if it's like a trip. I don't know if it's being recognized somewhere else. It should be something that's a badge of honor when you walk around society. Like, hey, I'm the dunk contest winner. You have to, but to do that, you have to big it up. You have to make it a big deal. Just like we make the Man of the Year award a big deal when you walk around with the Walter Payton Man of the Year shield on your uniform forever. You should be able to walk around with that, you know, patch or something like that forever, saying, hey, I'm the dunk contest champion.
The money that athletes make, that players make in the league, especially the top players, it makes it more difficult for you to, you know, financially incentivize something like winning the dunk contest.
Yeah, $1 million, they don't take that. They don't take that, man. You see how
they turn that down.
You see how they play for that in season tournament.
Yeah. Yeah.
Guys play hard.
They do. Money's money. We'll step aside here. We'll get into this Brooklyn Nets situation. Jock Vaughn out as their head coach. Where did it go wrong for the Nets? I don't know if we have enough time for that. We'll get into some football with you, Bart. Some thoughts on the offseason for the Jets and moves that they can make to try not to repeat the infractions of the past. And, of course, more of your calls at 1-800-919-3776. Pat O'Keefe in for Allen. Bart and Hahn on ESPN New York.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Hahn Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.